Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, delighted to welcome you all to this edition of All Sides Weekend. Today, we're going to talk about travel, and specifically travel with a child who has special needs, and that can run an enormous gamut here. We're going to get advice from experts. We're going to tell you what you need to know in advance of your trip, what to do during the trip, if there's a problem, etc. I'm delighted to welcome Jenna Soucy, who is an expert with Uniglobe Travel Design, who has a lot of experience dealing with these kind of journeys as well. She's brought with her colleague, Elizabeth Blount, also from Uniglobe Travel Design. We have a parent, Jill Hoffmans, who has been on the front lines of this kind of endeavor. And on the phone, Tom Hess. Hi, Tom. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Terrific. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll have a little discussion, and we will want to have your phone calls at 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. I want to start with you, Jill, and then get to Tom. So you're packing your bags.
My many bags.
You're going someplace wonderful. Can you give us an idea of your son's challenges and what you face?
Sure. Just briefly, my son has short bowel syndrome, which means he's missing a significant portion of his small intestine and therefore doesn't absorb nutrients well. So he has a central IV line in his chest that goes to his superior vena cava and also a G-tube in his belly. So he gets IV nutrition as well as what we call enteral nutrition through the G-tube. The first thing you have to do when you travel with a child like this is talk to your doctor. Get a note from your doctor, especially if you're traveling, saying this is what this kid has. This is the meds this kid needs to carry with him. These are the pumps. This is, you know, everything that makes your kid's day go the way it needs to go. The other thing is to work with your home healthcare company. We have a wonderful relationship with our outpatient pharmacy, and they will ship supplies that we need or find a way for us to take them with us.
I want to interject and ask a rude question,
sure.
but that's what they pay me for.
Yeah.
Money. It's expensive. Oh, yeah. What if you don't have a lot of money?
To travel?
Yeah, you have to go somewhere.
Right.
You really have to, and you've got to take Junior with you mm-hmm. because there's no one to look after them.
Right.
That may be a question for our travel agents
right.
as well. But I just want to put that in the mix.
Sure, that's a big deal. And if your insurance is not fully covering you, or you have insurance challenges, that is definitely we're lucky that we don't have that issue. So, in that case, the home care pharmacy may not ship your supplies for you, and you have to carry them all with you. So you need to make lists. You need to know exactly what your child needs, like down to the syringes. Like I'll say, okay, his 3 a.m. meds are 2 1 cc syringes and 4 10 cc syringes. So I pack those plus one.
And your child requires attention in the middle of the night.
Yes, overnight, 3 a.m. He gets medication. He's on medication 4 times a day, and that works out for us. So,
okay,
yeah.
Tom Hess, how about you? You have 2 children. You have a son on the autism spectrum, I believe.
Correct.
Travel for you. What do you have to do before you get on the road?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a little bit different in that we don't have the medical needs that Jill's son has, but we do require preparation. The key for us in travel is preparation. We make sure that we have all of the items that make Henry comfortable, and we make sure that we set the system up so that everything fits into our schedule. Henry's fairly, he has a structured schedule, so we like to make sure that we do things at certain times of the day, make sure that he has his iPad with him or his art supplies, and make sure that it's a positive experience for him.
Does Henry, is he frightened by travel, loud airplanes or cars?
It's interesting. We would never have known that he loves to fly and he loves trains, even crowded trains in places like Washington, D.C., unless we went out and did it. We would have thought, oh, there's no way he's going to do this. He actually loves it.
So that
makes it a lot easier.
Bottom line, try.
Exactly.
Try. Don't stay home.
Exactly. If you get out there and do it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
But that's an interesting point, and we should cover that some of our children don't have obvious medical needs to travel with, and some do. And so there is a whole wide range, I would think, of needs out there. So Jenna Soucy, our travel expert from Uniglobe Travel Designers, what kind of calls do you get? I mean, is every case different?
Oh, yeah. Every family's got a definitely different situation. And so we try to cater to that and help them decide what would be the best for them and also what might work better or suggestions to make. definitely, everybody's different.
Give me an example of something that was difficult that you really had to work on to succeed at.
Absolutely. One of our Make-A-Wish families wanted to travel through Europe, and we had to put together for them some opportunities that allowed them to travel successfully and easily. And unfortunately, some of the hotels don't have handicapped accessible rooms, and the public transport can be difficult to work around, especially if someone's in a wheelchair. So we make a lot of calls ahead, talk to hotel managers and concierge to make sure they can make accommodations for that family. That may mean putting a ramp on the stairs just so they can get in. Or sometimes we get the instance where a hotel will say, you know, we're not able to accommodate them, but one of our neighbors across the street can. So things like that are really helpful to get planned out in advance and know what to expect.
When you travel, this is to our parents, when you travel with a child, say you're in a car for a long car ride, that's all children get cranky. Most adults get cranky in long car rides. So is it any different, Tom and Jill, for your kids? Do you have to really work to keep them distracted and content?
Well, I'll tell you from my perspective, and I have to give it up to my wife because she really has, since the kids were very little, made the car and the van, typically is what we're driving in, very comfortable. We have a little tent that we set up in the back for Henry. He's in cocoon style so that he's really master of the back of the van. We set up TVs, VCRs back in the day when we still used VCRs. We also have an iPad in the back so that he's entertained throughout the entire trip. We, in fact, drove 25 hours to Nova Scotia with both our kids in the car and survived by making sure that we were prepared.
Our number is 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook, WOSU All Sides. We'd love to hear your experiences. Also, if you have questions about what it is to travel with your special needs child, and again, that runs a huge gamut for there's no category we can't discuss. We have travel experts here, and we have parents who have already been on the front line. So this is a good day to call, 292-8513. I want to touch on with Jill and Thomas, you both have more than one child.
Correct.
So what about the sibling who is not a special needs child? Jill?
Right. Well, she's special in her own way. Sam was basically born this way and with these medical challenges. So this is all she's known of a little brother. So they have their regular old sibling challenges, but also she sees he gets a lot of attention medically, and I think sometimes that's a challenge for her. We don't let Sam swim because of his lines, but she loves to swim. So we'll book a hotel that has a pool, and she knows then that that's her special time with mom or dad to go swimming. So we sort of make those concessions for her.
So if you looked at Sam, if he walked in this room, you wouldn't know anything different unless he took his shirt off or
correct.
Something.
Yeah, okay. Correct. Right. He's typically developed. I mean, you know, his doctors at Nationwide are amazing. And he's typically developing cognitively and, yeah.
I think this is a good town if you had to be sick or something. This is probably a
good
town.
Well, we moved here.
For that reason. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Tom, how about you and your house?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it kind of comes with the sibling experience. Sophie is a typically developing teenager, and she has her own needs as well. But one of the things that she's very good at, and I think many siblings of kids with special needs, is making her needs known. She's very good at reminding us, hey, you're spending an awful lot of time paying attention to Henry. How about me? So that's part of her sibling experience. And she tends to be very easy to get along with.
Tom, just so people understand, autism is a spectrum. There are people who are lightly affected and very heavily affected. Where would you put Henry?
Mm-hmm. I would say that he's fairly complex.
Okay.
He has some limited language. But he's very smart and very adaptable. That's one of the things that we were able to do with traveling, is he's able to fit into the city environment as well as he loves to go hiking and kayaking and skiing, which are things that
right.
we never would have, you know, on the face of it, when someone told us Henry has autism, we never would have thought that we'd be going on ski trips.
Because some of our kids have vestibular challenges. They have trouble with physical coordination and moving.
Yeah.
But you don't, so that's wonderful.
Right. Now, there are an awful lot of companies, and I do work with the Autism Treatment Network, that have adaptive equipment available. for adventure activities. In fact, Columbus has the adapted Adventure Sports Center up by the zoo, and they have bikes and kayaks and skiing trips that are available to families throughout Central Ohio and Ohio, frankly.
Elizabeth, I believe you're a partner at Uniglobe Travel. So I just want to touch on this before we take a break. Has the travel industry had to adapt to this population? Is it different now than maybe it was 10 years ago?
Yeah, we definitely have had to change with the times. But I think the thing that Jenna does and what we do at Uniglobe Travel Designers is that we never say no, and we're willing to ask any question to figure out how we can make something happen. Because the worst answer we could get from asking for a special needs request is no. But we always ask the question, and we will go above and beyond. So I think it's just, you know, we will take the time, we'll make the effort to make sure to make these travel arrangements come true. I mean, I just want the families to know they can travel. And we you know, are happy to make sure that it is a great experience.
And Tom and Jill, have you ever considered not traveling?
Oh,
is it
absolutely
not worth it?
Oh, we always say we got brave and we went on a trip.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, well, because
every
with Sam.
Every single one.
Yeah. Really? Well, have you really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. For Sam, if he gets a fever, he has to be inpatient. So if we're not near our home base, that is terrifying to us as parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we map out all the children's hospitals. His doctor tells us who the doctors are. And we hold our breath and we go.
Is there some place that you guys couldn't go or wouldn't go because you might not get the care?
We would never go overseas or anywhere that we could not get him to a hospital within 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We are planning an overseas trip to England. We're also planning a trip to Italy. It's one of those things, that exact same situation. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do it, but we are going to go out there and give it a shot.
I guess the operative word here is planning.
Absolutely.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy, and today we are talking about traveling with children with special needs, which can, as I say, run a huge gamut. We have children who are sight challenged and are sensory challenged. Some may be missing a limb. Some may be in wheelchairs, autism, chronic illness, etc. 292-8513 is the number. Elizabeth Blount is here from Uniglobe Travel Partners, as well as her colleague Jenna Susi. Jill Hoffman's is here, a parent, and from on the phone, Tom Hess, another parent. They both know what they're all four know what they're talking about, so this is a good time to ask questions. We will be right back following a quick break. Don't go away.
Support comes from Wesley Glen and Wesley Ridge Retirement Communities, offering independent and assisted living, dementia-specific programs, and nursing care. More information on continuing care retirement communities at methodisteldercare.com.
Columbus on the Record brings you in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis of the issues impacting life in Central Ohio. Be sure to watch WOSU News Director Mike Thompson and his panel talk about the top local and national stories of the week. Watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV.
Support comes from Wexner Heritage Village, home of geriatric planning solutions. Now there's a GPS for families navigating the complex and changing landscape of senior health care. More on Wexner Heritage Village's geriatric planning solutions at whv.org.
We are back with our discussion of traveling with children with special needs. Now, when we say special needs, I certainly, and a lot of people, I think, assume something really you can see that's really devastating. But it can be as simple as something that's really in the news now, food allergies. I mean, how do you travel with a child who really has to be very selective about what he eats? Tom, have you encountered that at all?
Absolutely. We had Henry on a gluten-free diet for quite some time. And this was a few years ago when it was much more difficult to find gluten-free options. I think now there are many restaurants and many places that advertise gluten-free options. And I think one of the things that we really push is being prepared. If you know you have those issues going into it, make the calls ahead of time. Find out what your options are and see if you need to pack the bag. So if you need to pack a bag with foods that'll be good for your son or daughter, make sure you do that work in advance.
And how about you, Jill? Do you have food allergies you have to deal with?
No, he doesn't have food allergies, but we have to carry all his food with us, either
right,
the IV bags
sorry.
Or the... He does eat by mouth, though. He's very picky about stuff, so we have to hit the certain fast food restaurant with the...
He can eat.
He's been branching out a little bit. He used to not eat, and now he does. But food allergies, thankfully, have not been an issue for us because I think a big challenge.
I think probably picky eaters is a bigger issue.
I think you're right, yeah.
Chicken nuggets are a staple when travel.
Okay, let me ask our travel experts, Jenna and Elizabeth. Jenna, so I come to you and I say I have a chronically ill child in a wheelchair and we're going to Greece. Discuss, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your day like?
Absolutely. First of all, we would definitely try and get the information that we need from that family about what they're going to need when they're there. Kind of talk to them about their daily lives and what needs to be done in Greece to make that work. We would definitely be touching out with not only the airlines, but also all of the hotels and tour companies we're looking at using for them to make sure that they're able to accommodate. A lot of questions with wheelchairs are the sizes, the dimensions, batteries, no batteries, things like that. We get all of those details to make sure everything runs smoothly.
Cobblestone streets?
Yeah, absolutely. Europe can be a very difficult place. It's a very old place. The streets are very difficult. They're not usually your standard concrete sidewalks with beautiful ramps that go into the cross streets. So it can be difficult, but we definitely have families often who are willing to try, and that's the most important part, knowing that it may be difficult, but you've got options and are able to improvise, as one of our families put it.
And this is a question for all of you. What if a child gets really ill on the road? What happens then?
Oh, definitely. We always recommend travel insurance, especially on international trips. That's really important because, like Jill said, you can make arrangements and be prepared with hospitals nearby you, which is very important. But what do you do in Italy in that situation? You might not know. A lot of the doctors are actually house calls and they'll come to your hotel, which is fancy, but it might not be what you need. You may need to be in the hospital, and some medical insurances here in the U.S. don't cover overseas. So we definitely recommend travel insurance in case of any emergencies, in case you need to come home.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things. I have worked in the insurance industry in the past, and that's one of those things where you really need to make the contact to your specific insurance company and have that conversation and find out exactly what is covered. And if there are things that are covered, get the lists and the phone numbers of the doctors and the hospitals.
We have a call on the line from Tricia from Columbus. Hello, Tricia.
Hi. Thanks for putting this topic on the air. I actually forgot to tell the person who took my call. I'm a pediatrician.
Oh, good.
And I really appreciate this being brought to attention of people. But I also have a son who's now 20, and 20 years ago when he started with his food allergies, he's got life-threatening food allergies. There wasn't a lot of knowledge about it. It was really hard to travel with it. We had people, particularly in the airlines, laugh at us when I would tell him, you know, he could die if there were nuts on the plane, please don't serve nuts, that sort of thing, and they really didn't take it seriously. So it was a frightening thing just to go on an airplane ride, and at one point I really felt I couldn't take him to see my brother, who was in California, coming from Ohio. It's hard to drive there with a five-year-old at the time. But the airlines, I had such a hard time finding an airline that was able to accommodate us. And just so people know, he actually travels all over the world, and it's much easier when you're talking about a 20-year-old that you're not worried about picking something they found up off the floor and sticking it in their mouth, which is a very frightening thing for a food allergic parent on an airplane. You can't get to an emergency room very quickly from an airplane. But also, I want to let people know, I don't know if you mentioned it, that there's something called Food Allergy Anaphylaxis Network, which may have changed their name to FARE, F-A-R-E. But you can find it by going to foodallergy.org. And they have a very good travel guide for people who are traveling with kids with food allergies. It's just as a resource for people.
Thank you so much for the tip, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Our number 292-8513. You can also send an email if that's easier for you, allsides@wosu.org. Okay, elephant in the room, the airlines. Nobody these days likes to fly. You could fly from here to Dayton if you had to, and it would be horrendous. I mean, my imagination, I think it would be anyway. So if you're traveling and you have lots of luggage and you have lots of supplies, like Jill, you do, how are the airlines doing?
Well, it's definitely more difficult than it used to be, but there are definitely upsides. They are definitely more aware of allergies now with food and things like that. A lot of planes don't serve peanuts anymore because of the allergy, but also gluten-free, we mentioned. We always give the airlines a call. They usually have codes for us to enter in with a booking to let them know what kinds of allergies or food recommendations there are, which is great. Luggage can be a big difficulty, especially if you have a lot of things to bring, equipment, things like that, because there are restrictions. So checking on the cost of those, packing wisely, not packing too heavy, we can definitely help advise on that.
Mm-hmm. I might just add that one of the things with this, particularly airplane travel, is the security, getting through the security.
Yeah, let's go over that.
Yeah. So with my son, and the very first time we traveled, we made a point to have an early morning flight so that we went through security at 4:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. when there were very few people there. We made the calls in advance and found out what the procedures were. And to be honest, they were very well trained, and they handled the situation very well. They gave us options. My son has an issue with his iPad, and they took his iPad from him, and he went running right through security
to get his
iPad, and they handled it very well. We were very pleased with the way we were treated. There is an option for families to go into a separate room and to go through the security process separately, which I think might work for a number of different families.
I do know that a lot of our autistic children couldn't handle crowds like even supermarkets are difficult for them.
I will say for us, for air travel, depending on which airport you're in, it depends on your level of service. So we travel with liquid meds that are over 3 ounces. We travel with pumps that can't go through x-ray. We travel with all kinds of stuff that they don't want to see. What I do is I tell them, as soon as you get up in security to the person who's checking ID, I say, I need you to bring someone because I'm taking all this through and I'm not, you know. Some airports will pat me down. Some will let me go through normally and take him. It runs the gamut depending on the airport.
And you can't check this stuff. You've got to take it with you,
absolutely.
Obviously.
So I will not check his daily meds.
Can't.
Absolutely not.
So if you have, you might have a lot of extra carry-on luggage they don't like these days.
Yes, they don't like anything that I bring on.
Okay. Now, here's another question that overlaps for our travel experts. So Jenna and Elizabeth, you've told the airlines these people are going to have to carry on 3 bags to accommodate. And we've all been there where the people at the gate don't know that,
right,
that they did not get the message from you, from their superiors. So then what do you do?
You give yourself a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
We travel usually the four of us, so we split up the bags.
Right.
We talk to people. The key for me is initially the first time we traveled with Sam, I had a real big chip on my shoulder, like, this kid needs this and you're not going to tell me what to do.
You're a
and
mom,
that
yeah.
really affected the whole
really?
Dynamic. Oh, yeah. So
you started off as the mom from hell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The mama bear.
Yeah.
I learned real quickly. That's not how you do it. You don't tell them how to do their job. You just say, oh, this is what I need. And here's the letter from my doctor. And do you want to see it? So when I say to them, do you want to see the line coming out of his chest and his stomach, and they're like, oh no, you know, attitude is everything, and I have a hard time with that, but it's a good lesson in humility and humanity, mm-hmm. and then when I'm more calm about it, other people are more, because they don't know what to expect with him, and it's weird, and he looks like nothing, there's nothing, and why
he
you have all
fine.
These things,
he
and
looks,
why are you carrying on 20 bottles of medication and these weird formula packs? And
Do they open the meds? Do they try to pour
they
out
They open the meds, and they scan them. Either some airports swab them with their bomb sniffing, whatever. Others have some other mechanism. Others, one of them just held up the bag, looked at me like, you look like a nice lady. Go on. I'm telling you, it runs the gamut.
Because I know you can't take in contact lens fluid with the plastic bottles.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I had to throw that out more than once.
292-8513.
I want people to call who have had problems, especially who really have had difficulty. Tell us your horror stories, and let's see if we can unravel them and help you and everybody else next time you call. Again, you can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org or tell us that things went very well for you. 292-8513. Jenna, what should people really be on the lookout for when they're traveling with a kid like this?
Well, I think the biggest key is preparation and making sure where you're going has the facilities and the know-how to take to assist. I mean, you really do have to be prepared yourself and know what you need. You can't go blind and not have any, you know, not know what you need and then expect it to be there. So that can be really difficult. You know, every city, every state, every country is very different. So being prepared.
So there's no uniform code of how you deal with this.
No, just like there's no uniform special needs, there's no uniform answer. So really, you know, describing what you need is going to help a travel agent decide what's going to be best for you. We definitely will recommend destinations based on what you're, you know, what you're wanting to do. And if you really want to go somewhere where it's, you know, sounds like it's going to be difficult, we'll help you talk through whether we think that's, like, you know, something you can do, and we'll talk to you about the options. And, you know, we've definitely made suggestions to families for different locations.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you've had clients come in and you had to say to them, this isn't going to work where you're going.
Yeah, or this is going to be really difficult where you're going. You know, we, again, like Elizabeth said, we don't like to say no. We usually like to say we can try and find, you know, get the information for you. But
the Brazilian rainforest might not be a great idea.
Exactly. Might be a little more difficult than you're wanting to deal with. And so we definitely make suggestions. And, you know, there's a lot of destinations that are a lot more family friendly and special needs friendly than others.
Like what? Give us a few examples.
Like example, Disney is doing a fantastic job of accommodating special needs. Also, the Atlantis resorts in Bahamas are fantastic at that. We do a lot of Make-A-Wish families there.
Make-A-Wish, let's back up a little. Mm-hmm. Just tell me what Make-A-Wish is. Make sure people
understand. Absolutely. We're one of the travel agencies that book for Make-A-Wish. They are a foundation that deals with kids making their dreams come true. And a lot of times that dream is taking a dream trip. So lots of times we get requests for families who have a child who is terminally ill or has another form of special needs. And their wish might be to go swim with dolphins. And so we'll recommend, you know, destinations that do that. Example, Atlantis would be a good one. We have a family right now we're working with who has one child who is, this is their wish, but a sibling, a younger sibling, has major medical needs right now as well. And so we've contacted Atlantis and made sure that they can set up things as far as a hospital bed in the room if needed. So they are very accommodating in making that medical equipment available, putting us in contact with who we need to make that happen. So some places definitely go above and beyond. Other places we just have to ask and they make it work. Other places will say, you know, this one's really not good, but maybe you want to go here instead. So honesty is really important from the resorts as well.
Tom, and let me ask everybody as well, have you noticed an improvement, more awareness of the airlines and the trains and the restaurants and things, and more accommodation than maybe in the past?
I think, like Jill's comments before, it really depends on where you're going. Mm-hmm. If you're going to the more urban areas, if you're going to cities, if you're going to Washington, D.C., where we just came from, yes, certainly there's a lot more awareness and a lot more. But if you're going to some of the smaller places, you really do still have to make sure that you have your positive attitude with you, all your documentation with you, and make sure that you're prepared to deal with things that you haven't had to deal with at home.
So what you're all saying basically is be nice.
Be nice and be prepared.
Be prepared.
I know, be nice is hard. It's hard for me, I know, but be prepared.
And we have a caller on the line, Amira. Hello, Amira.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a really great theme, and I think it's important to talk about. I have a mother who has very severe COPD, and we had kind of a nightmare flight a couple of months ago. My sister lives out of state, and so my mother requires an oxygen concentrator to get on the airplane, and the concentrator stopped working mid-flight.
Wow.
Which, you know, I realize she needs oxygen. She's a little bit in denial. And so I said to her, you know, Mommy, you need this. We need to alert the attendants. And it took a while for me to allow her to convince to have the flight attendants called. And luckily we had something to test her oxygen saturations. And by the time that she let me to call the nurses, we checked her oxygen, her saturations were in the 70s, which normal is in the 90s. And so she really was quite hypoxic.
Let me ask you, so she needs an oxygen tank, is that right?
Well, to fly on the airplane, you need an oxygen generator. And
okay.
So it's a battery-powered thing.
Okay, but you brought that with you, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
and the battery, it either plugs into the wall or it requires batteries. Now, in our case, the batteries, one of them wasn't working. And so...
Okay. My question is then, was there a challenge of getting that equipment on the, even though it's small, on the past security and onto the plane?
There was no problem getting it on, but she had the documentation, and we took enough time, and we were very polite. But when we had a problem,
nice.
It was a big issue, you know, and I'm a nurse, by the way. And so I said to the attendants, once my mother let me talk to them, listen, she really needs this oxygen. We need to do something right now. And they fiddled around and finally called, is there a doctor on the plane? And they do have portable oxygen, so it was no problem once.
Yeah.
The doctor came up, but it was amazing how, you know, we take responsibility for the concentrator. But I mean, this woman is hypoxic; she could have died had she been on by herself and just kind of poo-pooed. Oh, I don't need the oxygen or whatever. It was frightening.
Well, I thank you very much for the call. That's another great point. You know, sometimes even if you're a parent, I think we'll all nod our heads at this one. You can't make the kid. You do have to sort of force the kid to do what they have to do for their well-being, but the airlines don't, and the buses and the trains and the hotels don't. So you really are kind of on your own out there. I used to think that a vacation was going off duty. Am I wrong?
You're wrong. I need a vacation after our vacations,
right.
Always.
Yeah.
I might just chime in there that's one of the good things to prepare for. We oftentimes will take family members with us if we can, a babysitter with us if we can, so that mom and dad can sneak away, even if just for a dinner, even if just for an evening, just so that we can get some time to relax, because vacation's important for everybody.
And, you know, babysitters on the road, for people you don't know, that's dicey anyway. For a kid with special needs, I don't know if you'd want to get a babysitter and go out for the evening by yourself or not.
And that's why we'll bring cousins.
Right.
Because, generally speaking, they know the situation better than, you know, anybody you're going to find out on the road.
We're going to take one more break and come back and talk more about traveling with special needs children, 292-8513. Our guests represent the travel industry, and we've got two parents who represent everything else. Don't go back. Don't go away.
Support for 89.7 comes from the State Auto Insurance Companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
Does NSA eavesdropping and Google sharing your personal life bother you? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday. We'll talk about how to fight back with ways to protect your privacy online. Plus, why artificial sweeteners may not be so sweet to your body or your brain. Yeah, all coming up on Science Friday from NPR.
This afternoon from 2 till 4 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support comes from the Ohio Chautauqua in Bexley. From July 16th through the 20th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., there will be family fun, food, music, and living history performances around the theme, When Ohio Was the Western Frontier, all on the front lawn of Capital University. More at ohiochautauquabexley.com.
Sunday night on WOSU-TV, explore the downtown Franklinton area on Columbus neighborhoods. Learn the history of Central Ohio's first settlement and the seat of state government, and see what life is like today in the renewed city center. Watch Columbus Neighborhoods Downtown Franklinton Sunday night at 8 on WOSU-TV.
I'm Christopher Purdy, and we are back with our discussion on travel with special needs children. Jenna Soucy is here from Uniglobe Travel Design, as is her colleague Elizabeth Blount, who I believe is a partner in Uniglobe Travel Design. Mom, Jill Hoffman's mom from hell, she's here with us as well.
Nice.
And Tom Hess is on the phone from Pittsburgh. I think it's important to cover another point, and that is, what if you have to go somewhere immediately, suddenly, and no one, you have to take the child because there's just nobody to care for the child, and you don't have a lot of money? How does that go on?
Yeah, definitely. Last-minute travel can be very expensive, especially if you're flying. Sometimes hotel rates can be inflated, too, for last-minute travel. If it's something like a family emergency, there's usually bereavement fares with the airlines, but I'll be honest, they're not usually as low as they've been in the past. So flying alone can be very expensive. And
especially if it's an internal flight that's expensive anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, within that last week of travel or 2 weeks of travel, those flights can just double for no reason. Mm-hmm. And so we definitely have some struggles with that, with last-minute emergency travel. But again, with planning in advance, if you know you have to go somewhere and you know you want to do a trip this summer or next summer, you can definitely plan in advance and find something that's going to be a better budget.
And get deals.
Exactly.
That's your job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Typically, it's not more expensive to travel necessarily to a destination if you have special needs. It's more of being prepared to make sure that hotel can accommodate you. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, there are instances, I think Jill was talking about definitely getting that rental, medical equipment rentals. You know, that can be expensive if your insurance doesn't cover it. But, you know, a lot of destinations, you know, have wheelchairs available on site or, you know, have handicap accessible rooms at no extra charge. So that's important to remember as well.
You know, honestly, if we had to leave today and go somewhere for days at a time, I don't think we could.
Really?
Because he only has a certain amount of his TPN, his overnight nutrition. You know, I'm due for a shipment today. So let's say we had to leave yesterday. It would take a lot of coordinating and it would be very problematic.
So there's so much out of your control.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that's true for a lot of our listeners. There's just so much. You either got the formula or you don't, you know.
Right.
And if you have to go, that's a problem.
There are ways, Oli Foundation for tube-fed people, mm-hmm. children, adults, has an equipment exchange. They have people all over the country who are willing to help you out when you're on the road. So let's say I went and I forgot a pump. And it was a holiday weekend, and there's no way they could ship it to me. I could go to Oli.org, O-L-E-Y, and find out who was in the area I was in and hopefully get a pump, get supplies, something like that. Mm-hmm. But we need advanced planning. And on the Oli site, there's also a whole travel section that I think would be helpful for any kid with special needs.
And I might just chime in there with children on the autism spectrum. Preparation and structure are really important when it comes to travel. So for that last minute, oh no, emergency trip, it really is going to take that preparation and that kind of positive attitude. If the parents are freaking out and the parents are not following the script, the kids are going to follow suit. So that's a particularly difficult thing, too, for parents with kids with autism.
Good point. We have a call from Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Good morning, sir.
Go ahead.
It's a wonderful discussion.
Thanks.
And I have a daughter. She's actually 23 now. She is gluten-free and very, very sensitive. What I wanted to point out is that those lovely lists of the restaurants that advertise gluten-free, if you take them at face value, you may be in trouble. Because, yes, maybe Donato's, for instance, has gluten-free crusts. I've seen other restaurants saying, we have a gluten-free this, gluten-free that. But if you ask, do you segregate your other ingredients? They'll look at you as if you are speaking Old High Martian.
And they'll say, there's that mother again. God.
Yes. You know? If the same hand, you're wearing the same glove, mm-hmm. that patted the pizza crust, reaches into the pepperoni, that pepperoni is now cross-contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
I know for Donato's, they only guarantee the gluten-free on the take-home pizzas that they give you that are separately packaged in a different location from, and then the one they have in the restaurant, they
so you even have to have a backup restaurant. Talk, but be prepared. You really have to know three or four options.
I was going to say three or four different options is probably.
My family has all sorts of sensitivities, and, you know, second nature. We are ferociously loyal to the places where we know we can eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, very good. Thank you very much for your call, Sharon. And I just happened to notice that our lines are open now. There's no waiting. 292-8513. I said before, let's hear your nightmares. Well, let's hear your success stories, too. Let's not be totally negative. I'm sure there are people who have done very well. Again, 292-8513, email address, allsides@wosu.org. If you call right now, there is no waiting. Let me ask, this is devil's advocate here for our parents and for our travel experts. What's the worst thing that could happen?
I think the worst thing can happen is that you have a medical emergency while you're traveling and you need to come home, because that can be very difficult because, again, you're not in control anymore. You're reliant on the airlines to get you back or the hospitals to take care of you where you are. Fortunately, we have a really good nationwide children's hospital here in Columbus and children's hospital across the U.S., but that might not be the case when you're traveling to Cancun, Mexico for your vacation. You might need to come home because the facilities aren't going to be able to take care of your child the way that they can here in the U.S.
Do you get 2 o'clock in the morning phone calls?
We definitely do.
Do you really?
We definitely do.
That you can cover? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. We have an emergency line that comes through to us, and we take care of those clients immediately.
That's really good to know.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know if you should have told people that. that's really good to know. So, Jill, for you, running out of the formula or his nutrition or the pump brakes or I don't know.
That wouldn't be the worst because I know how to get those things. We went to San Diego a couple years ago, and his pump broke. So I was able to call my home care outpatient guy and say, so he called the San Diego people. They signed it over to me. So that the worst for me would be for Sam to be septic and very sick and need to be in a hospital that I'm not familiar with. Because talk about how I was with a TSA agent.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Unfamiliar hospitals who don't follow my line care protocol or what. Yeah, that to me would be the absolute worst.
So if they the mom has to stay out of the room so the doctors could, that's not going to happen, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right. And that's for me, with my son not having limited language, losing Henry.
Have
wander off and that'd be very difficult.
And it's hard because they want to wander off. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's fun. It's kind of part of the adventure of vacation.
And he doesn't have any trouble being in different places, adapting to different places. Is he okay with that?
We just came back from, we're in Pittsburgh now. We came back from Washington, D.C., very urban, right in the city, down on Georgetown's campus and George Washington's campus, walking down the streets of the city like he owned the place.
That's great. That's great. And Jenna, you're far away. You're in Australia. I don't know. But you're far away, and you do have to come home. How much time does it take to the paperwork and the stuff? Absent the travel time, how much does it take?
Absolutely. Typically, we can get you a flight home within the next 24 hours or sooner. If you were scheduled to come home, a week out, we would definitely try and get you on the next flight out. The airlines are really good at finding the next availability for that. Typically, if it's not a weather emergency or any type of emergency in that destination, it's no problem to get you on that next flight. And truly, the airlines are pretty accommodating with that. Not to say it isn't going to be extremely expensive. And even if you do have travel insurance coverage, most of them are reimbursement policies. So having a very large line of credit when you go is never a bad thing. But yeah, it can be very difficult.
So be nice and have traveler's insurance.
Right. Absolutely.
And when the travelers come back, we are happy to help with the claim and get that paperwork completed and just take that off your shoulders. So
now, I'm not familiar really with the insurance business. And Tom, this might be something for you. Is it hard to get this kind of travel insurance? What are the premiums, et cetera?
Yeah, it is not difficult to get this kind of insurance. It really, once again, takes that phone call. And I think with Jenna and Elizabeth, having the expertise and the contacts is the best way to do that. Yeah. Go through the professionals who do this every day.
Does this insurance last just the time of the trip, or is it?
It's the one we use mostly is really comprehensive. It covers you before you travel in case of an emergency beforehand if you need to cancel the trip. That's important, especially for a lot of our Make-A-Wish families where, example, a client was planned to travel in March, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks before his trip, we got a doctor's note that he can't travel now. So we had to postpone his trip. Fortunately, he's doing much better now, and he's leaving on August 3rd. down to Atlantis with his family. So we were able to reschedule and get refunded for everything, minus, of course, the cost of the insurance. But also really important with the insurance, there's plans where kids travel free on the insurance plan. So kids under 17 traveling with their parents can get free coverage, and that's a really, really important. And that's...
Wow.
10 kids if you want.
Wow.
I'm not sure you should have said that.
I know.
But that's wonderful, because that would never have occurred to me to even ask you about that. Now, here's another point. An autistic child may need to come home for reasons. He's not sick. He's not in a wheelchair, but he's freaking out. It's not working for him, and he may really have to come home. But if you looked at the child, you'd say, give me a break. I mean, put him in the car. I got that a lot. So what do you do then? I mean, Tom, have you any ideas about that?
Well, thankfully, we haven't been in that situation. We have had short instances of that. And in that case, we really do rely on the people at the various places, whether it's at the airport, where we go and seek out some customer service professional, where we can find a quiet place. And we can find a place that's a little more sensitive to kids on the autism spectrum. But in that situation, it's very difficult. I know that you feel very exposed and you feel very vulnerable.
Well, sometimes the grocery store is a challenge.
Sure. It's not just a typical tantrum like my kids would throw it.
Yeah.
But I want to mention, just with having insurance, trip interruption is covered as well. So if something happens and you need to get home, it's great to have insurance, because if it's a covered reason, we can certainly get the family home.
How much of your out-of-pocket costs might you be able to recover?
Everything.
Really?
Less the insurance price.
Yeah.
Come on. I know people don't want to do it, but getting insurance is the way to go. You're protecting yourself.
You have to,
Also, honestly, a lot of the insurances have policies for cancel for any
reason.
That's very important. Occasionally, we say, with this insurance, you can't cancel for a bad hair day, but this one you can. You never, ever know what's going to happen. But also, if you did have an emergency with your child who is autistic and needs to come home, and you're like, we can't do this trip anymore, we have to come home or he's not going to be okay. If you have a doctor who can make a note of that and sign that, yes, this child does have some, issues occasionally where he does need to come, travel home. Mm-hmm. A doctor's note is a medical reason. It doesn't have to necessarily be a medical doctor either. So the insurances are really good about, again, never hurts to ask, and filing a claim with the proper documentation we can help with.
And do you find usually that the airports, the airlines are accommodating with the reduced fees if you had to leave or cancel or whatever?
Typically, no. The airline's going to have their fees, and they usually don't waiver from those. And, purchasing a new flight can be very expensive. Exchanging your current one can be very expensive.
Another good reason to have insurance.
Exactly.
That's all covered as well.
And the other thing to mention, we have, relationships with our various airline reps, so there are always things that we as travel experts can do and can ask.
Now, as we wind down here, I want to just get back to one thing, and that is, first of all, some success stories. Have you ever had a trip that just soup to nuts was great, Jill?
We actually just had one. We had a very interesting trip with really good friends of ours, and coincidentally, they have a severely handicapped child who's in a wheelchair. So they're very sensitive to our needs with Sam. We're very sensitive to their needs with Erica. We went from Nashville to Memphis to Murfreesboro, Arkansas. Don't ask. It was a crazy trip. It was something normal people wouldn't plan, but it was amazing, and we had a great time. I don't think my kids will ever forget it. We were with good friends, and it was a wonderful time.
Well, you and the other couple got it, too.
This couple, they're amazing. They're good friends. We were totally well prepared. I did forget one of his medications, so we had to do like a 50-mile detour and a $100 copay. But, we have the resources and the means to do that. I understand that's a very privileged position, but that was the only glitch, and so it was a fantastic trip.
And Tom, how about you?
One of the trips that we have enjoyed the most was, in fact, down to Disney in Orlando. We had a great experience from the flight and security down there to the hotels that we stayed in, and obviously Disney does a great job of accommodating. and helping us out. And that was one of those trips where we weren't sure if Henry even liked amusement parks. And as it turns out, he loves them and roller coasters.
Well, as we wind up, and I want to spend a little time with this, Jenna, you said something off mic that's interesting. You should go. I mean, you know, really, you should. You have to use some common sense and match your difficulties with what's out there, but you should go.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think Tom's proof of that. You don't know until you try. And so it's always worth giving it a shot.
And also, another thing, we may have a lot of listeners, you know, if there's a family member in distress or dies or something in, you know, they may be in another country that's hard to get to, but you wouldn't go otherwise. You know, you wouldn't go unless there was a family reason to get there. Then what do?
You go. You know, I think you probably decide what's best for your family, right. But if you plan, if that decision's to go, you do as much preparation as you can and much notification as you can. So you make sure that hotel knows you're coming and that you have these needs.
Tom, are you a dad from hell?
I can be.
Okay. Yeah, generally it's the moms who are really, yeah.
It's the anxiety, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've talked about that, but
let's
for parents,
do it.
For parents with kids with special needs, any kind of needs, from the severe gluten allergy to my kid to, you know, a kid on the autism spectrum, the anxiety for the parents, I think, is unrelenting in life in general, and then throw travel into that and off your routine and out of your comfort zone.
Well, and that's where I might chime in and say one of the neat things that we have done over time is do little trips. You know, we'll go up to Mohican Lodge just up in Mansfield and spend a couple of days there to test out our system to make sure that it works, so that when we're real far away from home, we know the drill. Take little trips around Ohio, and there's a lot of places around Ohio that are really nice to go to.
And you're lucky that I think you both have kids who like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Or does Henry?
As long as Sam can play Minecraft, Sam. He doesn't care where he is.
And Henry truly loves the adventure.
That's great.
That's great.
I want to thank our guests. I want to thank our callers for their expertise. Tom Hess, you took time out of your day at a conference in Pittsburgh. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
For joining us. Elizabeth Blount, you... Uniglobe Travel Design, yes. And Jenna Soucy, Uniglobe Travel Design. Jenna is a travel specialist,
yep.
You have a wonderful title there, travel specialist, yes. And we have Jill
Hoffmans.
I knew that.
See,
I wrote it down right here. Jill, I don't want, and you're not a lady I want mad at.
That's right. So, look out.
So I guess in summing up, you have to be prepared. You have to keep lists, and probably in your day-to-day life you are anyway. You've learned that has to happen. You know where you can and can't go. You know what the kid can and cannot deal with. Be nice, but it's true. Be nice, be flexible, be patient. And really, I think the parents need to just go to bed after, just check out after these vacations.
Which we can't, but it'd be nice.
I thank you all very much for your time. I thank Rachel Quimby, our producer today, for her good help, and everybody out there. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, and you are listening to listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station. We are a service of WOSU Public Media.
Thank you.